leave it wide open in that regard.
Mr. Mike, any suggestion that financial security rules are insufficient to protect the state's interest?
I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting the language to me is not sufficient in this particular paragraph. I can't address that right now,
but
I'll try to bone up on it and make a recommendation at a later time.
Because you don't know what the conservation rules are, or
I don't.
Right.
And a rule can be changed. I've appeared before these administrative hearings under the Administrative Practices Act, and that can be changed like that, depending on what is proposed and who's in attendance. But sometimes people don't attend.
The process takes about a year.
I understand that, but it also the process is driven by whomever is in attendance at these meetings, and a lot of times it's only the fox watching the hen house that does attend, and it's difficult to get past that particular element. And so, in my mind, I'd like to take another look at this particular language and to strengthen the financial security requirement. And at least I am not prepared to go forward at this moment because I don't know enough about it, but I will look at it and maybe make a proposal next time.
And I know, I understand and respect how you feel. If we do approve it, we're just approving it in principle now, which is subject to be changed later on, or you can bring it up at the next meeting after review of these things. At the least, I guess we're in no worse situation than the state uses for other leases on private lands and all. So, what's the wishes of the board? Does anyone want to make a motion? Are you finished it?
Yeah, that was the entirety of the presentation.
So,
can we move this one article to the third group? If you have some more time to.
If you wish, we can defer it to the next third tranche, I guess it's called.
Group? I think runs a group.
Not trashy, but tranche.
Donald, if you make a motion, I'll second that. Maybe we can have another discussion about this.
Sure, I'll make a motion to move the articles concerning financial security to the next tranche.
Article 15.
Article 15, financial security.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion by Mr. Arnold and a second by Mr. Heinck. Any further discussion or questions? Any public comment? Not all in favor, signify by saying aye. All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Next one.
Next would be force majeure, Article 5.
Yeah. Now, Mr. Smart had an issue with that, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
A letter with a letterhead on a vein.
Do you all have a copy of it? I can summarize it if you want.
On the back of 1, 2, 3, the fourth page of your stapled articles.
And so if you look at, it's going to be within the article, paragraph E, which has the word force majeure, bolded, italicized, and in parentheses, in quotes, and it's essentially a definition of that term. This strikeout, which you see at the last sentence of that paragraph, was present in the August version. We still hadn't resolved this question. It was outstanding from the earlier part of last year where staff had a discussion and decided that we ought to strike it out. And then, so the comments that Audubon had made was to leave those in and add a phrase which doesn't seem to add much, really. So we've got it. If you look at that paragraph, the first sentence is a definition of force majeure, and it has certain parameters that it lays out for what will be an excuse for not performing the lease terms. And so it's got to be fortuitous, and it's got to be beyond the lessee's control, and there has to be determined that the lessee didn't cause it, either by his negligence or intentional act, or failure to take preventative measures. So the definition in and of itself is what is meant to be in play and work whenever there's a request for a force majeure excuse.
So you figure the language is enough parameters to determine without actually listing some such as events.
Yes.
You didn't want to limit it to just those.
Right, and we don't limit it. We say
it doesn't say such as.
Right. We say may include, and then on veins added, but shall not be limited to, which is really means the same thing as may include. But we thought that having this here would give maybe too much emphasis to those particular incidences, which we didn't want to give. And so you may have, for instance, a blowout that doesn't meet the definition of a fortuitous event that was may have been preventable. So we thought that it gave a distortion to the actual definition of force majeure and recommended striking those. In fact, to give you an example, some of our early leases had labor union strikes as listed possible force majeure events. Obviously, nobody is worried about that today. So the problem with putting examples is you capture what we're worried about today,
right,
and it doesn't necessarily carry on for the next decade or two.
Anyone? Questions?
Yes. Mr. Height.
Do you want to put labor unions back in?
I happen to agree with Mr. Smart. Don't tell him that in public.
You just did.
But he's not here.
It's all right.
This is part of it.
I mean, I think we'll leave that language in, but not limited to. I think it we're going to judge whether or not something is a force majeure or not whenever it's been brought to us by Mr. Bradbury, whomever. And to be restrictive.
Yeah, but it's may include, but not.
I think we'll include the language. Maybe may include, but not limited to.
Right.
Those particular instances, because there might be something else that we can't anticipate. Maybe a terrorist attack or something. I don't
right.
know. So I move to adopt that language, but shall not be limited to.
If I could point out for you, the paragraph below that, which is suspending events, is really another word for an excuse for performance. And the reason that we created that was because we thought that the phrase force majeure is subject to judicial interpretation and the whims of the courts back and forth. And so we created this suspending events. Just
the wisdom of courts.
Yes, the wisdom of courts. So we created this suspending event as a way to capture those specific instances that we had run into in the past that we wanted to say, okay, you don't have to perform the lease if this happens. So that's another reason for putting specifics maybe in another place other than the definition of force majeure.
So basically expanding the scope of force majeure by putting in a suspended event paragraph. So basically you could remove suspending event, scratch all of that, and just, as Mr. Smart said, but shall not be limited to.
Yes, Mr. Secretary.
Right. Would you agree with that, Mr. Divitt?
Well, these listed in the stricken language, we thought sometimes yes, sometimes no. We thought that it may have given someone a thought that, well, hey, I got a major storm, I've got a force majeure. You've got it listed in your lease. So automatically, it may have given the wrong impression. If you see something, I'm going to latch on to it, and that's going to be my reason.
Secretary Harris.
And my rationale for defining what a force majeure is, as opposed to giving examples, is exactly what Mr. Davis said. If you look at each of those six suspending events, I can think of examples where they would not meet the definition of force majeure. I mean, certainly Deepwater Horizon was a blowout, flop fire, and explosion, and I don't believe anyone would claim that as an example of force majeure. You could have a major storm that didn't affect that particular well. Same with a flood, they may have been able to take actions such as flooding their tanks to prevent the tank from floating on. I believe by listing examples of suspending events, you give people potential argument to claim that suspension when it's not due. I believe the definition of force majeure allows the board the flexibility and the authority to determine when it's appropriate and when it isn't.
But we are leaving in all the suspended events, right? That's what you're saying.
Well, I would recommend
paragraph F.
Yes, I would recommend the striking. My thought is striking out those six examples because listing the examples themselves gives credence to why they should always be applicable force majeure when I believe they're not always.
So there's six examples in the stricken sentence. There are five examples in the paragraph below it. And they're not the same.
There are two examples of force majeure. You just said six. So there are two examples of the force majeure.
No, there's in six.
In the paragraph after.
Yep. Okay, I was just looking at the one and the two, not the...
Storm, flood, natural disaster, blowout, fire, explosion. Those are six.
Major storm, major flood, other similar natural disaster, major accidents such as blowout, fire, or explosion is stricken. I believe those should remain stricken.
In paragraph E of force majeure.
Right.
Right.
When you look at the five in paragraph F, they don't match. These five were suggested by staff based on past experience.
Mr. Secretary, are you saying by listing the items you feel like it puts us in a weaker position?
That's my belief.
I support that.
So you're saying that we should remove the suspending event paragraph?
No.
No, the red line.
The originally proposed revision of the red lined last sentence in E, force majeure.
Let's take that out.
Yeah, that's scratched. That Smart, Mr. Smart believes we should leave in, right?
Yes, he suggested leaving it in and adding something that I'm not sure.
Right.
He's suggesting leaving it in if we leave that line in. Okay, I refer to my opinion.
Okay.
Am I allowed to do that?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Davis.
So I refer to my
opinion. Not a comment.
I agree
with you. Can do
secretary
it.
There
and
ask.
All right. So, any more comments or questions? So do we have a motion? Mr. Hyde?
We adopt the
Mr.
Hyde. Suggested revised language that we've been discussing.
For Article 5,
yes.
Force majeure and suspending events. Do you have a second?
Secretary Harris?
Second.
Secretary Harris seconds. Any public comment? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye. All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Next item is recitals. I believe Mr. Smart had some issues with that.
He did. He had a comment on there were three additions to recitals from the August version. The first one that's in there. Okay, yeah, I'll let y'all find it first in materials. First added paragraph that begins, lesser makes no warranties as the condition of lease premises. This is actually taken from the Article 22 of the August version, no warranty of title. That was just mentioned by Jim. There were no changes made to the paragraph, and there were no comments.
The addition of those two paragraphs, and then at the end of the section, the second to last paragraph, during term of this lease?
That's correct. Correct. They don't all come from the same place.
They come from different places. So the first paragraph comes from Article 22 of the August draft. The second paragraph is actually the paragraph that we had comments from Mr. Smart on. This language that reads, lesser reserves the right to exclude certain sites from drilling and overproduction activities in areas having special wildlife, environmental, recreational significance on state surface lands. Was added to try to reserve and protect the state's authority to exclude specific areas of a lease in the rare event special wildlife, environmental, recreational areas do exist. Without that language, the default is going to be that if the parties disagree, the court has to determine whether the lessee's use of the surface is reasonable.
So you agree to insert Mr. Smart's language?
No, I'm just rehashing the reason for that.
And that's
been
reserved the right.
We've had some dissension among staff as to whether to leave it in or not.
Yeah, the staff didn't have a chance to review the comments as a whole on this particular paragraph.
The comments are that, and
but I mean, you have it in red, right? The same thing as he wrote?
No. So he recommended deletion of that that sentence.
Should be deleted. Okay.
Correct. Sorry.
And
so I can't speak for the staff because the staff as a whole has not had a chance to review the comments as a group. But looking at it may be something we need to take an additional look at, see if there's some way to
improve it, and then you can change later. Mr. Holmstead.
Yeah, I've got a question on this. I tend to maybe agree with Mr. Smart, because this, to me, says he's someone wants to lease property from us, has to go do bugs and bunny studies. They've got to identify all this property. I think it's a lot to put on these leases. So we need to look at this.
The other concern that's been raised is that, let's say there's a drilling permit for a particular site. If we have this language in the lease, we could say, we disapprove that site, and there may have already been a lot of plans spent to do that. So it does create a certain uncertainty when you go and take a lease.
And I think there's a, I'm sympathetic to Mr. Smart's comment as well. On the wildlife and fishery sites, we do have a rider that's provided by wildlife and fisheries. Part of the concern of the staff was that there could potentially be a CPRA project that would be interactive. But in getting the necessary permits to drill, they would have to get a coastal use permit, which they get input from CPRA.
And as far as the CPRA example, there's actually a specific paragraph dealing with CPRA projects further down, I guess two paragraphs down from the one we're talking about.
Should a motion be made that won't be delayed till the next meeting so that staff can review and give us recommendations?
We'd recommend.
We'll second that motion.
Kite makes a motion to defer this.
Only that paragraph, really.
Right, it was just that one paragraph that we received comments on. The third and last one, just to be comprehensive on this, was actually taken from the conflicts section or Article 25 that was also mentioned by Jim earlier. So again, no changes made to the language here. It was moved from there. This is the one that we already approved in principle.
Right. So you want to defer the acceptance of recitals until the next...
Or just one paragraph. Just a section. What we're talking about is just a section there.
Which would be...
We might as well do the whole thing. I mean, in a week's... No big deal.
Yeah, I mean, we will focus in on Mr. Smart's comments.
So, Mr. Hank is...
Motion to defer the...
Acceptance.
Recitals until...
Till the next meeting, which would be group three of the tranche. So we have a second by Mr. Arnold. Any other questions or comments? Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Signatures is the last section.
Yes, and that's just before recitals. I see it's on legal size paper. Ordinarily, it's going to be on letter size paper. A little easier. Well, they've reduced it. Okay, so I wanted to give you a sense of what it looks like. The first page, you'll see it's in a different kind of type. It's, at the top, it says signature page existing lease language. That's what we use today on our current leases. State signs first, and then there's a witness acknowledgement for the state, and then the next is a witness for corporate lessees, and then an acknowledgement for individual lessees. And it's just one page. That's it. That's all. That's all the current lease. So there was a consideration amongst the staff of perhaps redoing that. The August draft, which is the next page, added some instructions up at the top. You see that in brackets saying that the lessor may execute this lease either in authentic form using the first signature block below or with a witness acknowledgement using the second signature block below. And if I could summarize that in layman's terms, traditional for oil and gas leases to have witness acknowledgement. The way that works is because traditionally you have a landman who would go to someone's home, and there usually wouldn't be a notary present. So the lessee would sign, the landman and perhaps another witness would be present, drinking coffee and eating pie at the same time. And then bring it back to the office and get in front of a notary, and that witness would then be the landman who had gotten the lease signed. So the witness...
Did the notary get fined too?
The notary did not get fined.
That's not very nice at all.
So anyway, that's why traditionally it's had the witness form of acknowledgement. So in the August version, we put in where the notary would be present with the signer.
I think we're ready to agree with you. We'll make a motion to accept.
Thank you.
All right. Means he's being paid by the hour.
Do you guys get the pie?
I'm glad y'all understood my comments.
I'll second.
All right, so we have a motion by Mr. Arnold and a second by Mr. Hike to approve the signature article. As proposed with the revisions. Any questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye. All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries.
Chairman.
Yes.
Apology. I'd like to ask staff about something that we've already approved.
Okay.
That it just went through right over my head. Because it was nothing to do. And that is, Mr. Canfield, give me the reason
why. And the primary term, we go back to that section a minute. And there was reference in the old article to August lease. Yes. It's I'm looking at number two.
So both, basically, the entire subsection B, including 2, was removed because under the August version, you had two reasons why you could ask for an extension of the lease term, and it was limited to a tertiary recovery project in a unit approved by the commissioner or an ultra-deep well. The change by deleting that and including the new paragraph B is expanding the ability for people to request an extension of the lease. Also expands the authority of the board to grant an extension on a lease for other reasons. I think it was an attempt to try to make sure that as technology changes and things move forward, we're not just stuck to what is current technology.
That doesn't affect any possibility of insertion of deep rights in a lease, in this lease in the future.
It doesn't affect that.
I don't believe so.
And we would... We did get some comments about this change that weren't in writing. That, well, what, how will we know what we can get? And there'll probably be a request for the board to make a policy on, you know, if you want this sort of amendment, you want a 2-year extension because of an ultra deep well, maybe putting in some parameters, or here's what the board ordinarily would accept.
Well, my question dealt with the fact that if this language is removed, that does not affect the possibility of including deep rights in our future lease.
Not at all.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
To conclude that, I guess we're on to the...
Well, we just need to clean up that the final information on item 12 is informational purposes only of the next group that we will be bringing to you next month.
Right.
With the, we will be adding to that after this discussion the financial security and recitals to that list as well. And that will complete.
Yeah. Do we need to request authority to publish or to put these out in us, this other group?
I didn't know we were going to do that. I thought we were just because we were going to, at the very end, we were going to publish it again. That's kind of a double duty. So it's up to the pleasure of the board.
Okay.
Does the public know that the next meeting we're going to be discussing these particular articles?
They will know that the third group, we will be discussing those, as well as the two that we are bringing in so far, as the lessee reporting, that change will be made, and when we make our final advertisement to the public, we, as Blake said earlier, we'll notate that there was a change in rent or whatever. So
the public will know that we're taking up this next group of articles and if they want to come and talk about any.
Yes, sir. Just like
I think that this, Mr. Chairman, is look at those articles and there's going to be some significant discussion on these articles. It might be a long meeting.
Right.
On the next one? We didn't have, but that's...
On the next one?
Yeah, you might just think about that. But there's a lot there, and there's going to be some general discussion. I can tell you, for instance, online audit record, general liability, assignments, all of those ahead of you stuff.
We're going to have a lot of questions for you.
No, I'm kidding.
So then my question in advance, if you'd like. And then I would want the answers from the staff in advance so I can... Debate.
I mean,
step.
Think so too? I mean,
I think he's right. It's a daunting task in the ordinary.
So do you all want to pick which ones and then notify us?
I think especially we've added a couple, so we could revise the. We've given you a proposed plan.
Oh, right.
There's not a lot of wiggle room in there, though, and we.
Unless you push everything back a month.
Right. And we had wanted to call it the 2017 version.
Well, that's important. But I mean, it's important that we get this thing right. And at the expense of agreeing again with Mr. Divitt this morning, I think he's right. I think there's a lot for us to absorb, and I think there's going to be some further discussion, not only by Loudmouth Pike, but maybe some other folks.
Well,
kind of want to debate it a little bit.
But you could always call the question.
True. Like I've done before.
Yes.
I don't know whatever the board wants to do.
Okay, so can you all do that on your own? Agenda? You can list what the agenda is, and you can choose to put them on or not. Or do you need our approval for a change of the schedule?
We would need your approval for a change of the schedule.
That's already been passed. So yeah, you'd have to make a motion to change.
Now or at the beginning of the next meeting.
Mr.
Chairman, what I'm saying is, do you know which ones you could split up today?
I don't. I mean, we have a staff meeting planned for later on this week. We could discuss it at that time.
Make a motion. Why don't we just make a motion to allow the staff to look at this next list?
Make
that second motion.
Do it in the next meeting.
The fourth tranche is very short.
Okay. He said the fourth group, the tranche, is very short, so you could possibly roll them over into the fourth group.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that we give staff the authority to revise the third tranche, or whatever you want to call it, and just notify us within the proper period of time as to what article will be discussed at the next meeting.
And we can correct it in the next meeting. Right?
Second.
So we have a motion by Mr. Hyde. Do we need a motion for that? I mean, they're just going to do it in the next meeting.
Well, Ryan said it's not like we needed to make a motion. Just could have changed it.
Well, I think you could just defer to staff to do it. I've given them a word.
They can do it when they propose it in the next meeting, then you can correct it. Okay? Right, so, Neil, is that... We've got docket. Next, we're going to have docket. We're going to take a quick little 5-minute break and then go into our executive session.
Sir, we want to go with docket.
Yeah, go with docket.
Under category A, state agency leases, there are no items appearing in this category for approval. Category D, state use transfer. Approve items 1 through 9. Item 10, subject to the approval of the governor. And approve items 11 through 14. Under category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, state agency lease transferred. There are no items appearing in this category for approval. And category D, advertised proposal, approve items 1 through 9, and that will complete the recommendations.
All right.
Make a motion to accept staff recommendations.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold. Second. Staff's recommendations on the docket report. Do a second. Second by Secretary Arnold. Any questions or discussion or public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye. All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Those recommendations are adopted. And I'd like to take a 5 or 10 minute break, and then we can move on to the executive session. So, anybody want to make a motion?
So moved.
Motion to take a break?
Yeah.
Second motion.
Moved by Mr. Hike, second by Mr. Arnold. Any public comment? If not, all in favor. All opposed, motion carries. We'll be in a break for about 10 minutes, and then we'll come back. Resume our agenda. Ted. Any public comment? Not all in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. We're back in a regular session. Byron?
Yes, for the record, my name is Byron Miller. I'm a geologist at OMR. We have received three bids today, one on each of three tracks, one bid per track. For track number 44731, the bid was an improper bid. We recommend that bid be rejected. The bid on track 44732 and 44733, those bids are sufficient, and staff recommends those bids be accepted.
All right. Is there a motion?
Yeah, motion to approve the first two and open this, the third one to the floor.
We had a motion by Mr. Arnold, a second by Mr. Hype. Any public comment or discussion? If not, all in favor? Aye. Say aye. All opposed? Say nay. Motion carries. All right, I understand there's a bid. On the floor, but I'm trying to find my guidelines for bidding for Cedar. I know it goes, I just want to make sure I do it.
State your name. You have the board, okay.
Does anyone have that in their packets? Bid from this floor
for this amount of
prestigious
company. I didn't just read these terms, but this one right here will be 25,000.
This is for track number 44731, right?
That is correct.
Yes, right. I'd like to open the floor to see if there's any bids interested in track 44731.
Yes, please.
Okay.
My name is Ronald Schwartz, authorized by Coastal Land Services to bid on track number 44731. The entirety of the track, 8 acres, as stated, for Coastal Land Services Incorporated. Leaseholder registration number 1496. You want the addresses? The primary term, 3 years. Total amount offered, $5,000. Amount per acre would be $625. The annual rental would be $2,500. Royalties, oil, gas, and other would be 25%.
All right. There's been a bid on track 44731 by Coastal Land Services, Inc. Is there any other bids interested in track number 44731? Is there any other bids for track 44731 going once, going twice, going three times? At this moment, the bids are closed on 44731. Do I have a motion by the our staff? Do you have any recommendations or objections to this bid from the floor?
Yes, the bid given for track 44731 is acceptable. Staff recommends accepting the bid.
Right, we have an acceptable bid, a loan acceptable bid on the floor from Coastal Land Services for track 44731. Do I have a motion to accept that bid?
I make a motion to accept the bid from Coastal Land Services.
I'll second that.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold and a second by Ms. LeBlanc to accept the bid on track 44731. All in favor, signify by saying Aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? The motion carries. Good, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next item is we need to do a cleanup of the legal entitled controversy report, where we were talking about the third group or tranche of reviews on articles that are being revised for the new lease form. And we had some, we were going to take the third group and hold as advertised, but I think we're going to separate it into two groups.
Correct. So the board previously approved for staff to revise the proposed plan for review and basically select which portions of group three they were going to, the board was going to be presented next at the next board meeting.
Right.
We also need to have authority from the board to publish online those articles that we do plan to go over at the next board meeting.
Okay.
So that's the request. All
right.
Do you make a motion for the board meeting, Eric Thomas?
Do I have a motion by Mr. Arnold and to accept staff's recommendation, second by Mr. Hyde. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed, the motion carries. Now we'll go back to new business, I believe. Executive session. Oh, that's right. Our executive session items, A through F.
Right, so item, executive session item A was informational only on the audit issues related to Chevron Texaco. Executive session item B, the Attorney General's office was seeking authority from the board to negotiate pursuant to the terms discussed in executive session on the Hozier Properties case. Item C, the Yuma exploration case, pursuant to discussions at an executive session, the Attorney General's office is recommending that this board accept the current counteroffer of Yuma to resolve this case, and hoping for a motion to that effect.
For B.
Grant authority, correct?
Grant authority to negotiate, correct.
I need a motion grant authority to negotiate on item B.
Good motion by Mr. Arnold to grant authority for negotiation concerning item B. The executive session, do you have a second? Second by Ms. Misha Duga. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed, motion carries.
Item C was an affirmation of the authority previously granted.
Yeah, that's correct. Item C, as we discussed in executive session, you guys had already given us the authority that covers the proposed settlement from Yuma. We just wanted an affirmation of that and authority to go ahead and start putting the settlement in that case in the proper form for advertisement and final signature.
I'll make a motion to that effect.
A motion by Mr. Arnold concerning item C. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed, the motion carries.
Item D is a request for authority to accept the terms discussed in executive session and the authority to advertise the communitization agreement.
All right. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion for an authority.
Mr. Arnold makes a motion to grant authority for item C.
D.
I do have a second. Second by Mr. Cadero. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? Motion carries.
And item E is seeking, again, specific authorities discussed in executive session to make a counter proposal of settlement in the M&M Almond matter.
Right.
I'll make a motion for authority.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold for authority. For that item, do I have that? That's item F. And to E, do I have a second? Second by Ms. Misha Duga. Any public comments? favor? All opposed? Motion carries.
And item F is ended up really being just for information purposes only. We don't need any action from the board. And just to note on the record that counsel for the board are going to request an extension from TANA because this was a late received proposal so that we can get our recommendations together for you guys for next meeting. If that's it.
All right, great. Thank you very much. We'll move on to the item 7, new business A, request by Theodore M. Hike Jr., board member for the adoption of the resolution regarding Office of Human Resources staff's presentation of draft resolutions to the board regarding revisions to the language of the lease form and the operating agreement. I believe there were some.
Well, I don't need to go into a whole lot of detail. You know that I've been making this change in the process for quite some time. It's taken me some time to learn exactly what the implication of this particular resolution would be, but the long and short of it is, in my mind, in the resolution that I'm proposing now reflects that. And I want to thank Blake Canfield and Jim Divitt because they did a lot of work on this and we discussed it. But the significant thing to me is that if there's going to be a change to the lease, the language in the lease, or the operating agreement, then that, and it's proposed by me or a staff member, whatever, that is to be presented to the board in a written resolution form before we move on whether or not that language should be changed. And the main reason that I have been insisting on that is this, that although a motion made before the board is properly recorded in our minutes, it's very significant as to what the will and intent of that particular motion would be, as it's reflected in the whereases of the resolution. I want to be able to read those whereases before we adopt any language changes. There's significant litigation in the past as to courts interpreting the introductory paragraphs of statutes to determine the full intent of a legislative statute. I analogize that to the resolution that we're talking about now. So, that being said, basically if any member of the board and or suggested by staff members want to change any language to the lease or the operating agreement, then they must present that to the board in a written resolution form before we give the authority to anyone else to execute that resolution and make it permanent. And that's the purpose of my resolution.
All right.
So I'll make that motion.
And I'll second that.
Mr. Hike has made a motion to accept his adoption of his resolution as stated. Ms. LeBlanc seconds it. Any discussion questions? Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? The motion carries.
Thank you for your patience on this issue. It's been a couple of months to get to this point, but I appreciate it.
Any announcements?
Yes. I'd like to announce the totals for the lease sale today, June 14, 2017. We granted 3 leases covering 196 acres for a cash payment of $76,944 at an average acre price of $392.57. The year-to-date, fiscal year 16-17, payments have been
$1,950,623. Great. Appreciate it. And make a motion to adjourn by Mr. Arnold. Do I have a second? Second by Ms. Misha Dugan. Any public comment on that? If not, all in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. See you next month. Thank you.